On this week's episode of HPD HQ, we give the people what they want, and they want to know about frauds.
Welcome back to HPD HQ, the official podcast of the Huntersville Police Department. This is Odette Saglambeni. I'm the public information officer for Huntersville Police.
Are you sure about that?
I almost forgot.
I am Brian Vaughn, the lieutenant over personnel and training. How was your week last week?
It wasn't bad. I'm a little stressed because at my gym, we've been doing this accountability challenge, mm-hmm. and it's nearing an end, and we have to do a test out. So we had to do an initial test in to see gauge where everybody was at. And part of that workout, I don't know if you know what an echo bike or a rogue bike is.
I got nothing.
But I swear that thing was handcrafted by the devil himself. Yeah. It is awful.
Like cats.
Yes, just like cats. Yeah. When you get off the bike, you can't. When I did the test in, I fell to the ground. I couldn't. And what's worse is if you stay on the ground, the pain just gets progressively worse.
Yeah.
So then you can't get up and walk.
Right.
So you should keep walking. Anyway, so I have to do that test out, and I'm not looking forward to it.
That stinks.
Yeah.
You've really been giving me a lot of crap lately.
About your weight.
Yeah, saying I'm overweight, which
you're
I am.
Really not.
I'm not overweight, that bad. But,
it's just fun to
It is so fun. But last week when you did it, we got off the air, and I actually cried a little bit.
Sure you did. After you ate the piece of cake.
Yes. But the biggest thing was that I skipped a couple days of just eating in general, so I lost 2 pounds, I think.
That's it?
2 pounds. Yeah, 2 pounds. I mean, it was like throwing a lounge chair off the Titanic. But and then you totally enabled me last week, and as I'm Gary walk out the door, you hand me a cupcake.
I know. Somebody,
is this like Hansel and Gretel? Are you trying to plump me up, then you're going to cook me later? Wait, that just went to...
You can't pass on a cupcake.
You can't pass on a cupcake.
I mean, I had a cupcake and a chocolate-covered strawberry, so.
Yeah, but you got off that, what did you just call it? The devil bike?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, it was, ugh, I don't want to do it. But I got to do it now.
That's so funny. Yeah, you'll catch up to me in age one day, and you'll be like, I can't eat anything. This is crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll be fine.
Yeah. We're excited today because this is episode 8, and now we're having our fourth guest. Is that right?
I think so.
Four or five. Yeah.
Have you noticed on where people are listening that there's a lot of people in Canada listening?
I did. Somebody
it's
must
like 20 be, something. Yeah, it's weird.
Somebody's messing with us.
And then there's one unknown, which is kind of weird too.
I think we know. The one unknown. I think we know. Yeah, I think we do. It is. It's so cool. And as everybody's seen in the media lately, you know, all the negative press surrounding police and stuff. And yet again, here we are. You guys here in Huntersville just support us, and it doesn't go unnoticed by the officers. We're very appreciative of those of you that are listening to this and follow us on the different social media platforms. And it makes us feel good. I tell people all the time when they bring stuff and drop it off, where they just stop our officers and say thank you, that you don't really realize that you need to hear thank you from somebody until you actually hear the thank you, and then it's
like, oh
yeah, you realize it gives you all the feels.
It does.
It feels
even
great.
Me.
Just, you know, a side note, even though this has nothing to do with the topic today, is we have a couple people applying for our agency from out of town, in areas that aren't necessarily as supportive of their police as they are here. And if you have driven by the Huntersville Police Department, we have lots of signs out front that show support for the agency and how much the community loves us. And a couple of these people that are coming here are going out there, they're pulling up, they're taking pictures of these signs and sending them back to their coworkers saying, hey, come
this
up
is
here.
Weird.
This is
weird. They actually like their police department.
Yeah, so we are very appreciative of
It's been great. So much food, too.
So much food.
I think somebody needs to bring veggies. You've had a lot of cake.
Shut your face.
Oh, the Cinnabons.
I'm so mad I left
Cinnabons
early that day.
Were so good.
Did you get a Cinnabon that day?
Of course I did.
How many?
Just one, because okay. I had to go work out afterwards. It was right, because they came at the end of the day. I said, oh, I don't know if I can eat one of these and go work out.
But you did.
But I did. I did. And I didn't vomit. So that
can
was
I'd eat one of those and not have anything to worry about.
That's true. Weren't you running for a while?
I did, like, three times.
Three times?
I think.
You bought maybe. A new pair of shoes
I did
and
buy
everything.
A new pair of shoes. I said,
you're like, I'm
going
to do this. I'm going to run every day.
I'm doing this.
And it went for 3 days.
Maybe three.
Maybe
sure.
three. You didn't even make it
Look,
3 days.
Look, I can be this way and happy, or I could be like you and miserable.
I am not miserable. I'm pretty happy. I went and did, there was a beers and burpees event.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the burpees part was awful. The burpees and the running, and it was, ugh. But it was a fun event.
Was it that bad?
It was for charity. It wasn't that bad.
How many burpees did you do?
A lot. We had to do 300-400 meter runs, which is a lap. I know you don't know what that is.
A 300 meter
run. Have you seen a track? It's one lap around
the track.
As long
as there's a Dunkin' Donuts at the end of it, yeah. I've seen it.
So we ran 3/4 of a mile, did 25 burpees, 25 box jumps, 25 slam balls, 25 thrusters. I know you don't
did
know
you,
what this stuff is.
Did you pay to do this?
I did pay to do it. And you had to drink a beer after each round.
Holy
which
moly.
Was awful because all that slushing around in your belly when you're running is not good. Mm. But it was they raised a lot of money.
Now you know how my belly feels
every
day.
Jeez.
How many people have turned this podcast off by now, you think? 7 minutes in? Are they over this?
Probably.
They're like, we came on here because we wanted to hear about frauds. And from Detective Rick Rojas. And don't hear about frauds, and Rick Rojas isn't
here. He's not here. But we've got Detective Tim Lesser here.
Yeah. Yeah. So. This guy over here is, this is the man with the plan. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Are you, though?
Yes, I am.
Are you sitting here and regretting life decisions at this point by being in the room?
Not at all. I'm happy to be here.
So, Tim was voluntold to come do this podcast. We wish Rick could be here, but condolences to his family. Lost his father-in-law a few days ago, and so he's not able to make it today. So we got the fourth best fraud detective in our department, Tim Lesser. Are there other fraud detectives besides
you?
We
only have
you? Three. Okay, you're the fourth. Yeah, that figures.
That's a bad sign.
Tim is, again, this is every week. I guess I've got the inside scoop on employees, but yet another very good friend of mine that's here this morning, and he's been here. How long have you been here at Huntersville Police Department?
Over 13 years.
Hmm. Over 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Did you work anywhere before Huntersville Police?
I worked in Virginia.
Where?
Hampton, Virginia.
What did you do up there?
Started out as a patrol officer. Worked my way up to patrol supervisor.
And you? Then,
yes, me.
Okay.
And then I ended my service there as a detective in Hampton.
And then been here, you've done patrol, and then how long have you been in investigations?
Almost the entire time I've been here. I was not in patrol real long.
Oh. Short time around.
I think
patrol.
I was in patrol for training.
Kind of like Odette.
Yeah. Well, you know, things happen.
So you may hear some jet engines in the background as this podcast progresses because we're still in
the heat's on.
Supply closet. The heat has kicked on today.
Yeah, because it's been cold. This weather... get me freezing in the morning, and then to me it seems hot in the afternoon, but I know when you and Sergeant Sprague went outside last week, you're like, it's 67, it's not hot. I'm like, well, it feels hot outside, the sun is out. My skin is burning.
Maybe you should get in the sun more.
I do get in the sun more. I got a tan.
Okay. So we have Tim here because probably one of our top three things that happens in Huntersville besides traffic crashes are frauds.
Frauds, yeah.
We have frauds going on like crazy.
All the
so
time.
We had a few questions for him as he throws his notes on the ground. So how did you become a police officer? What made you do this?
I've always, since I was young, 10, 11 years old, I've always wanted to be a police officer. And I went to school for it, and I wanted to end my career as a detective.
So your career ended 10 years
no,
ago?
No, it did not end. I still have a couple years left, but I've always, since I was a young boy, I've always wanted to be a police officer and took the classes I needed to in high school and college, and I became a police officer in 1997.
Wow. Gosh, I didn't know you were that old. I mean, you got lots of gray and the hairline.
Can we talk about these, speaking of gray, these beards? We're going to do an updated photo later this week.
Did you get a before photo of Tim? Or no? Probably not. Oh, yeah,
no,
you did.
No, I did.
You did.
Yeah, yes. I did.
You did.
Yeah, so we're going to do updated photos, and these beards are...
ZZ Top.
Who, oh no, never mind. I know the answer to this. I was going to ask whose beard is more gray.
Yeah, it's yours. I think you're pushing 90% gray.
Oh my gosh. Whose beard is coming in nicer?
Yours.
Yours looks more full. Yeah.
Who's a better podcaster?
Do I have to pick one?
Oh. So. Since you've been here, you've been doing frauds. Is there a specific area in town you're responsible for, or are you just taking all the frauds, or do you just, you know, what do you?
Yeah, I work frauds in the 9214 zone area.
And those of you that are listening, the
I have no idea what that means.
9214 is...
we're split up into four different zones. And that area encompasses, like, where Walmart and Frankie's mm-hmm. and...
That's weird if we'd have frauds at Walmart.
That would be...
Or shoplifters.
Shocking, right? People don't steal yeah. from stores.
Yeah. So, along the way, we've investigated frauds. They come in all the time. Officers take them and then pass them on to you. What are some of the most common frauds that you see?
The most common frauds that I see lately are... one of them is called the reshipping package scam, where a... person or victim will answer an ad for a job online, and they are now communicating with the suspect, and the suspect is asking them to send them their personal information via scanning it or through a text photo. They're asking them to send their driver's license photo, driver's license information, and they're being told that they will receive packages, and when they receive the packages, they will be given a contact email or phone number, which is usually spoofed, to contact the suspect and ask to reship it. And that property is usually bought with stolen money or compromised accounts.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the biggest ones that we've been seeing here lately.
Yeah. They happen frequently. Like, how often? What would you say your percentage of being able to actually catch the person that's doing the actual fraud? It's pretty low, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty low. I mean, a lot of work goes into these cases. We still have to do all the steps that are involved in it, but a lot of these cases originate from overseas, Russia, China, and it's usually limited resources once we figure that out.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of different types of frauds. I know we've had the ones where people call and say your grandson, and they tend to target
elderly. Or older community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll say, you know, your grandson's in jail. We need you to send money, you know, bail money. But they'll usually ask for it in iTunes or Amazon gift cards or...
Wait. I wasn't supposed to pay that the other day?
You probably shouldn't.
Someone called me and said they were with the IRS and that I owed them money.
And to pay in some kind of gift card or...
Yeah, this one was iTunes. I wasn't supposed to do that.
Was it? Yeah.
Do we get that frequently? What
yes.
happens with that one?
We get that a lot, and what we tell people is 99.9% of the time, if somebody's communicating with you and asking you for a payment through gift cards or iTunes, it is a scam. Yeah. We just ask. We kind of created the ABCs to prevent some fraud and to prevent you or minimize your risk of falling victim of one of these scams. And the ABCs are A, to authenticate every phone call that you get, every email, every text message. A lot of times you're communicating with a phone number that has been spoofed or fake. And then the B part of the ABCs is be aware of the scams that are out there. Educate yourself, make yourself very knowledgeable on what's going on. And then the C of the ABCs is call the institution or family member to verify the information that they're requesting before you act. And do not call the phone number displayed in the text message, the email, the caller ID. Actually do the research yourself and call the institution or the organization or the bank or the family member.
Yeah, the banks and businesses and stuff will never call you to give you your password and stuff to the company.
Correct.
And they won't, if you owe them money, they may call you, but
they usually send stuff in the mail.
They do, and if it's legitimate, they don't mind at all if you say, hey, I'm going to hang up and call you back.
Yeah. Right.
And we are not going to call you to say you have warrants for your arrest and that you need to pay us.
Right, and that happens quite frequently.
To get you out of jail. We don't do that.
Somebody using a spoof number will call you and say they're a local law enforcement officer or sheriff's department. We do not do that.
The demented side of us is when I get them, I actually like to play along with them.
Yeah, we've had a few officers do that.
Part of our live studio audience today.
Yeah.
Jim Abraham is here in the room. He really wanted to see what Tim was going to talk about because we won't let Jim get on a podcast. So he wanted to come in here and watch. But
just stands
he
in
does
the corner.
Have a face for the radio, though.
Yeah, he does, definitely. So Jim has actually recorded some of his interactions with some of these yo-yos that call and try to commit the frauds. And we like to goof off and give them, you know, fake numbers.
Isn't there one that calls a lot about... your car warranty is about to expire.
Car warranty is going to expire.
On a car that you don't even own anymore.
Right, right. So they called me the other day. My little boy was sitting there with me. And I said, oh, here's one of these phone calls. Let's answer it and see what happens. So I answer it and I put it on speakerphone. And it was the warranty thing.
Yeah.
So I said, press 1 for more information. So what did I do?
Of course, press 1.
Press 1. So it went to this person. They came on and said, you know, your warranty's expired on your car. We just need some more information so we can extend the warranty out. What year and make and everything of your car do you have? And I said, well, you called me. You should know what it is.
Exactly.
and they said, well, we just need to verify for security reasons. So I told them, my son and I just got done watching Back to the Future. I told them that I had a 1985 DeLorean. And they said, well, that's not the car we have on record, but we can add that one. So I tried to go on through that, tried to start giving them a fake VIN number, and they finally hung up
Sometimes
on me.
Sometimes they get angry.
They do get
They'll
angry.
They'll get hostile with you.
Angry little elves.
Yeah. Such an angry little elf. I can't wait for that. Can we I mean, I know it's early, but I love that movie.
Let's do it. Let's watch it. Let's have a podcast about Elf.
Elf.
You kind of look like that guy.
Thanks.
Minus the hair.
I'm speechless.
So are we.
But bottom line, frauds. Don't give out your personal information, bank account, credit card information. If people are asking you to confirm, you know, the last however many numbers of your credit card, just don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't give out any personal information. You know, verify these numbers, like Tim was saying. Don't go off the number that came up on your caller ID. Mm-hmm. Actually look it up. And see if you can find a different number. Talk to somebody.
Yeah. If they originate contact with you, just you figure out a way to get back in touch with them. Yeah. And no legitimate company is going to knock you for doing that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's legit, they will say, okay, cool. Call, you know, look us up. Call us back.
Or ask you for payment in a gift card.
Yeah. Don't pay
a lot
for
of
things.
Them are
I mean, we
cards.
Laugh, but
it
you know,
happens
sounds
a lot.
Crazy, but it happens
We've
daily.
We've had people lose thousands of dollars. In gift cards. I mean, because they go to get the gift cards. And sometimes the cashiers will pick up on it, especially if it's an older individual. They'll, you know, hey, what's going on? Or what do you need all these gift cards for? If, you know, they're buying a handful of $500 gift cards at a time.
That makes me think out loud. Do we do outreach to local retail establishments and say, hey, can you help us with this?
We have in the past.
Yeah.
Yes, we have. We've given them the scenarios and asked them, see what they could do for us and try and stop it from happening.
Right.
So if people are getting these calls, who should they call to report it? If they're whether they've lost money or not.
Yeah, whether they lost money or not, we ask them to call the police department and see if it's something that meets our reporting criteria and at least get it documented somehow. And if you don't want to call the police department, you can always go on the FBI IC3 Internet Crimes website. And it's a very easy website, and you can fill in some information about the incident and report it to them.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, you were worried about today, I think, or at least overnight. You probably were a little nervous, but you did awesome, man. Thank you for coming up here.
Anytime.
Anytime you're told.
I don't think he means that.
Anytime he's told, he'll be up
here. Anytime you call me the night before, that's right.
So we've started this tradition. Well, first of all, the weather last week was terrible, and we would be remiss to not mention that the motor guys are probably not on their motorcycles.
However, I did see them on their motorcycles on
in the rain.
One of the days it was drizzling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they've been doing some enforcement in the business park, so be careful.
For some reason, we just feel like we need to mention the motorcycle guys every time. So the other game that we've been playing with our guests when they come in here, first of all, the recording studio is in a...
Property room, I guess.
Yeah, like a supply closet.
Supply closet.
Yeah, mops, brooms, vacuum cleaners. So the thing that we're doing is like, where's Waldo? We ask the guests to look around the room and give me an item that you would not expect to see in a police department room where you record a podcast.
That's right, and I immediately saw a hacksaw.
Don't know why that's in. That we used to piece together this desk that we're using.
Why that's not in here. Why that's in here, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, so we actually used that hacksaw for this desk that you're sitting in front of.
We had to kind of piece it together so we could all fit. Right.
Yeah, this is so crazy.
But it works.
All right, so traffic tip of the week.
Traffic tip. What traffic tip are we doing this week?
Was it something like fake it till you make it?
Be smart.
What was it?
I don't remember. You know what we can talk about, though?
What?
How to merge.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think, and it would seem natural to want to get over really early in the merge instead of waiting. I've actually looked this up, and statistics show that if you wait till the merge point to get over when you're, you know, trying to get onto the highway or whatever it is, if the lane's ending, if you wait till the merge point, it actually reduces traffic. Instead of trying to hurry up and get over.
Everybody diving over there at one time and traffic slamming on their brakes.
But what's aggravating about it is when you wait till the merge point, people don't want to let you in because they think
you're passing everybody.
You're passing everybody and not, you know, you're that guy.
Have you ever had one of those almost moments in a merge lane?
No, I had somebody wouldn't let me over.
Oh.
I'm like, I'm doing the right thing.
You have got the worst car operating. I think we may have to send you to a remedial.
I'm a great driver. Other people hit me. Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize that you should wait till the merge point, accelerate in the lane to get over and actually accelerate to get onto the highway and wait till the merge point to get over.
So traffic,
but it works both ways. The people on the highway they can't block you from coming in because they think you're
speed up.
Trying to pass everybody.
I speed up and block them.
Of course you do. You're that guy.
Yeah, I am that guy. So traffic tip, wait till the end of the merge point to get over, and it actually helps reduce.
It should help reduce traffic.
Should. But when you have so much.
But when people just don't know how to merge, it's just.
That too.
If people on the highway just stop to let people in. That's what almost happened.
Yeah.
On my way home, I didn't get caught in anything, but it happened in front of me. This guy came to a complete stop on the highway to let somebody merge.
I'm going to call you Odette Almost Seglin Benny.
No.
So we're coming to the end of episode 8. What do we have for episode 9?
Episode 9, we're going to talk about crisis intervention. It's basically, in a nutshell, officers receive training on how to deal with people that have mental illnesses.
Yeah, that there's some sort of mental break going on. Give them other tools for their tool belt to deal with these calls for service. And while we aren't going to make any promises this time, because for a couple weeks in a row we've said we're going to have a guest, I am attempting to have somebody here from the actual crisis intervention team in Charlotte to come up and maybe have a little short discussion with us.
If not, we've got plenty of officers here that are certified.
We do.
In CIT, so we could absolutely get one of those guys to come up.
We will say that next go-around, too, is that we really aim for everybody that's on patrol to have CIT and to go through that training, so they
have
that.
Very important.
Because there's lots of mental illness out there that we need to be able to deal with appropriately.
Yep, absolutely.
So, want to close us out?
Close us out. we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to another episode of HPD HQ. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It's easy. Just type in Huntersville Police Department. If you have a comment or question for the HPD HQ podcast, email us, podcast@huntersville.org. That's podcast@huntersville.org. If you like this episode and think someone else would too, please share it and don't forget to hit the subscribe option. We are the Huntersville Police Department. And remember, making good choices makes for a better day.